Good morning, everyone. So I think for many of us, I suspect, up until last week, the story of Jonah is pretty familiar. The actual content, I hope that we have been able to see more of God's heart and God's character and who he is, and therefore allow the Holy Spirit to continue to shape us and conform us into the image of Jesus as we see here. I also suspect that for many of us, the rest of the book, which we'll finish today, is not as familiar to us. It's not as top of mind to us. We're going to see, just as God has been providing so much to Jonah and to the Ninevites, God is going to continue to provide many things this morning. But just as some of the things he's provided already have seemed at first to be possibly a judgment or a curse or something, they actually turn out to be God's blessing, God's desire, God's plan, but not in the way we would expect. We're going to continue to see this morning God's heart, God's care for people, and for people that we tend not to really care about. And I think that's so hard for us to look at. We tend to think of ourselves as very compassionate, very caring, and in so many ways we are. But we also all have blind spots. And we've seen through Jonah that there's this whole group of people that he did not want God to bless. But God shows that he loves even the ones who have rejected him, who flaunt his law, who don't believe in him, who do horrible things. God cares for them. And if God cares for them, so should we. And also, may God reveal in our own hearts that there are things that are so small that we care so much about while neglecting to care for the big things like our neighbors who do not know Christ. So turn with me, please, to the book of Jonah, chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4, as we're going to do verses 5 through 11 as we finish up the book of Jonah. So last week we were saying that Jonah talked with God, and Jonah's like, I knew it. I knew you were going to be merciful to these Ninevites. I knew if I went and preached to them, you are a compassionate God, you're loving, you're merciful, and you were that to even the Ninevites. And I'm mad about that. I'm so angry. And God says, do you really do well to be angry? And now in Jonah chapter 4, beginning in verse 5, Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant, so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? This is God's word. Here, God continues, as he has been through the whole story, to teach Jonah. Yes, God's care and compassion, is as he highlights in our passage again this morning, is for the Ninevites. And yet, while God is going about the activity of saving the Ninevites, he also is teaching Jonah. He's shaping, he's discipling, he's fathering, he's forming the character, the heart of Jonah, revealing to him ways in which his heart is not in alignment with God. And in there is great mercy from God to be able to help Jonah see his own blind spots that keep him from knowing God more. First, in verses 5 and 6, God provides or appoints a vine, a plant, a tree. It's a vine, I think, is a better translation here, but I'm not the expert there. Jonah leaves the city after they all repent. He goes to the side of it, and he sits down, and he wants to see what's going to happen. It's not specific what he's waiting for. He already knew that God, caused them all to repent, and maybe he's kind of hoping that they'll revert back right away, and God will bring judgment on them and will destroy them. He makes a shelter for himself, or a booth here, as they do with the Festival of Booths, Festival of Tabernacles. So it wouldn't have probably had a roof, just some shelter, a little bit here. And then God provides this vine. And it's the same word he used to say, God provided the storm, God provided the giant fish, and now God provides this vine. In a way, God provided Jonah to the city of Nineveh. This is all God's sovereign hand at work here to save people, to shape people. He provides this vine. It grows up very, very quickly. And it says that Jonah is exceedingly glad because of this vine in verse 6. Jonah is so happy about the vine. Oh, from scorching heat, it's hot. He's just uncomfortable. He's mad about Nineveh, right? And God provides him with some comfort. And Jonah's reaction is, oh, this makes me so happy. God has blessed me. Thank you, God. Well, God's not done providing. He then provides a worm. And it's the same word he uses there. He appointed, provides a worm. The worm attacks the plant, and the plant withers instantly in verse 7 here. This is the next day. The worm chews through the vine, and he kills the vine. So much for Jonah's nice shade, for his nice comfort here. When we think about God provides and God working in our lives, this tends not to be the way we think about it, right? But it's so explicit and so clear. God provided this worm. And it's, again, not as judgment on Jonah. It's not because, Jonah, I'm mad at you. It's in God's love for Jonah. He's saying, your heart is not with me. And that's so important. It's so important for you to be able to align with my heart, to know me and my character, to know my heart for these people that I'm going to send this worm here. As with the fish, there's no use trying to find out exactly what type of worm or what species of worm. That's not the point. The point is that God provides it. And God used the worm just as he used the fish. It's a miracle. The worm is a miracle, just as the vine was a miracle, and the fish, and the storm. Well, now that God provided the worm to destroy the plant that he had provided, God now provides a scorching wind in verse 8. A scorching wind. And when the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And Jonah's reaction says, and he asked that he might die. It's better for me to die than to live. He's feeling this full misery now. And he is. He's miserable. He had felt blessed by God when the vine appeared. Doesn't say how he felt here, but probably some confusion or anger when God provided the worm. And now that he's provided this scorching east wind, Jonah is so upset. He's so angry. He just thinks it'd be better if he were dead. Life isn't even worth living because he's in so much suffering and he's in so much pain. Well, God then speaks and provides instruction to Jonah in verses 9 through 11. God says, do you do well to be angry for the plant? Is that a good thing for you to be angry about, that the plant that I provided, that I took it away? Jonah says, yeah. Yeah, I have the right to be angry. I'm angry enough to die. And then God shows him and says, you had pity on the plant. You were upset because this plant that you did not make grow, that you did not provide, you're upset because this little plant has died and has caused you discomfort. How much more so then should I be upset about 120,000 people not knowing me? 120,000 people who are hurting each other and themselves and who have turned away from me and do not know me. People that I created, human beings. And then, as if to highlight how insignificant the plant is, it's a really interesting way that God ends this whole book here and says, and so much cattle, and also much cattle, right? It's like saying, look, if you can't have compassion for the people, how about just even the cattle? If you're worried about a little plant, it's like the cattle, it's, you know, worry about the people. God is highlighting that Jonah's heart is sick, that he has idols in his life. That yes, he knows who God is. Remember, that's what's so amazing through this whole book. It's not just like, well, if he just knew God better, or knew who he really was, then you'd do what he said. No, Jonah knows exactly who God is. That's why he ran away. I know you're compassionate. I know you're loving. I know you're merciful, even to these people who are so bad. And God in his mercy is showing to Jonah in hard ways, in ways that involve suffering, he's showing to Jonah God's own compassion and love for people, all people. For most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, there are some individuals or some groups of people that we really don't want God to bless. Unless somehow they radically changed who they are to become more like us. And I'm not suggesting that we should ignore and condone unrighteousness. But think of Jesus and the woman caught in adultery. It was this crowd of people who were following righteousness. Right? What she had done was awful and unrighteous. And of course, I love, we always have to have the commentary, where was the guy? Why wasn't he being stoned there, right? Anyways. It wasn't that the crowd was turning their backs on what they thought God or what they knew about God. They knew that what this woman had done was horrible in the sight of God. God's law said so. And they were so angry. And how does Jesus respond to this person who truly sinned? Who the community of who were supposed to be God's people were looking to exact God's judgment on her. Jesus has compassion. He doesn't deny her sin. He has compassion. Who are the people in our lives that we struggle to have compassion for? Again, maybe it's individuals. Maybe someone has hurt us truly and deeply and horribly hurt us. And we just can't seem to find a way to have compassion for them or to pray God's blessing on them. Maybe it is groups of people. It wouldn't surprise me. I know, especially in our divided nation right now, we're so polarized, and we just view people who think differently than we do about political issues or cultural issues. We think of them as bad, as the enemy, as ignorant. Instead of looking at them with compassion and humility. Jesus came to die on the cross, and he made himself known to us, if you are a believer, if you are a Christian here, he came to make himself known to us, not because we were goody-two-shoes, not because we were the righteous ones, and those bad people, well, of course, God hasn't made himself known to them because, well, you know, they're so bad. No. He looked at all of our badness, understands it better than we do because we have a blind eye to our own sin, And in his love, he reached out to us through Jesus. In his love for us. And that same compassion and love which God has for us, he has for our neighbor also, who does not know Jesus. Who maybe doesn't believe in Jesus. Who maybe ridicules Jesus and hates him. Because God created our neighbor also. God is concerned with people, all people. Therefore, let us love all people because God loves all people. Let's pray. I pray, O God, you would help us to see our blind spots, Lord. The ways in which we don't truly know and understand you. The ways in which we have idols in our own lives that block us from knowing you, O Lord God. And I pray in your compassion and your love for us, help us to see as you see. May the things that break your heart, O Lord, break our heart as well. May the compassion with which Jesus exuded, poured out for us when he went to the cross, may we also pour out compassion on those we meet today. I do pray for those who have been deeply hurt by individuals or by groups of people and pray for healing, Lord, that comes from you. That you would empower us and release us from our chains of unforgiveness. That we would know your justice, your forgiveness. That we can make you known to a hurting, dying world. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.